I invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. We're going to talk about the church living in the power of prayer. In chapter 3, Peter and John go into the temple to pray, and they do something miraculous. God uses them to heal a paralyzed person, a man that's been lame since birth, and it causes a commotion. It gives the opportunity for Peter to start preaching another message. And while he's preaching, the temple leadership doesn't like it. And they start to come, and in a moment we'll pick up with Acts chapter 4. But I want to just review two slides, six verses, over how important prayer is in the Bible or in the early church. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, before Pentecost, it said they all joined together constantly in prayer. And then in verse 24, then they prayed, "You know everyone's heart, show which of these two you've chosen." They were trying to find a disciple who was to replace Judas. Remember, Judas had committed suicide. And then if we look at the next slide, we see in Acts chapter 2, 42, after the Spirit of God has come on them, Pentecost says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to what else? To prayer. And then we notice again in Acts chapter 3, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And so this is leading into that incredible healing story of chapter 3. But when we look at the end of chapter 4, there's two more things. When they heard this, the opposition, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And then in verse 31, after they prayed, I find this incredible. The place where they were meeting was shaken. Sometimes don't you just wish God would just shake the world's foundation so we'd wake up and realize that there is a God in control, that He loves us? In fact, we need to stop and wake up that if God hadn't saved us, we're going to hell. But we also need to wake up to the fact that God loves us so much, He walks with us. Boy, that's beautiful. Verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But what I want to talk about is the church living in the power of prayer. I want to talk about the importance of prayer. But before I talk about the importance of prayer, prayer is something that everybody struggles with. In a survey years ago of pastors, how often do they pray each day? 6 minutes. Wow. And if that's our pastors, it makes you wonder how little do our lay people, our regular people, how often do they pray? And I want to start off talking about what prayerlessness does. And what I need you to understand is when we don't pray and we're not living in the power of God and depending upon Him, it opens the door for spiritual attacks. Even if you pray, Satan's going to attack you. He doesn't want you to get strong. But if Satan can get you on the ropes where you live a defeated life, that's what he wants. And when I look at 2 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says, "In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes." And when we stop praying, here's 5 steps that happen. One, we find discouragement, Satan's greatest tool. Secondly, we start doubting, does God really care about me? Does he hear? We become, thirdly, disillusioned about God. What does it mean to walk with Christ? Confusion sets in. Is God the author of confusion? No, but the devil is. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves, because we've taken our eyes off of God, because we've taken our eyes off of His power, we have become a disabled Christian. And that means a defeated Christian, because our eyes are off of God. When I look at the importance of prayer, I want us to understand we pray because we know that Satan attacks to oppose the work and witness of God's people. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against what? The devil's schemes. What was the other verse? that we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. And so he's going to attack. Prayer is the way of communicating with God that gives us his strength. But notice with me as we read Acts chapter 4, verse 1. The point that we're looking at is that Satan attacks to oppress God's people as they share God's word. It says this: the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They're preaching the gospel. The religious leadership didn't like it. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Amen? That's our hope. When I die, that's not it. We go to heaven. Verse 3, they seized Peter and John, but because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Verse 4, now they arrested the messengers, but you cannot stop the message of God. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. That doesn't include the women and young adults, amen? God's mighty power is at work. Satan wants to stop it. God, through his Spirit, brought you here. You're here for a reason, to grow in Christ, to know him better. Satan's going to oppose it. And so you need to be on your knees to pray with power. God, I need your help. We're going to talk about that throughout this sermon. But what's interesting, I don't have verse 5 in your outline. It names the temple leadership, the high priest, the former high priest, the future high priest. And these guys are Sadducees. Now, Sadducees only believed in the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. They didn't believe the prophets. So they understand, but they don't buy it. Now, the Pharisees, what Paul came from, they believe the whole Old Testament, all the way through Malachi, the resurrection. God can do the impossible. But what you're about to have is an arrest of two men, and they're arrested for doing one thing: healing someone in the name of Jesus. Now, they're fixing to be set before the Supreme Court, Congress, and a religious mafia group. Now, these Sadducees, this temple leadership, a couple of weeks earlier, what did they do? Executed Jesus. They're real good at trying to intimidate people. If you don't listen, we're going to beat you up. If you don't get the message, we're going to kill you. And that's what they did to Jesus, and that's what they're going to threaten John and Peter for preaching the gospel. They don't like it, and they don't want to change. Please hear me. They can change, but they don't want to change. Some of you here today, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are in a car driving yourself to hell because you do not want to change. Amen? And the Bible is here that Christ can change you if you want to change. He gives that hope to all of us. So let's read our text this morning. Now, before we move forward, let me just remind you why Satan hates you. Let me give you five reasons. Number one, Satan hates you because you're loved by God. Even though you may not call yourself a Christian, or maybe you call yourself a Christian and only show up on special events, Christmas and Easter. I scratch my head at that, okay? You're either walking with Christ or not. It's kind of like golf. You're either improving or you're not. Amen? Okay, to our golf people, they're looking at me funny. Second reason Satan doesn't like you is because not only are you loved by God, you're now God's child. He has adopted you. You belong to him. And Satan doesn't like that. Why? Because you used to be under the devil's control. You used to belong to the kingdom of darkness. Jesus intervened. Now you belong to the kingdom of light, God's kingdom, and you're now saved. But there's more to it. As you look at the next slide, Satan hates you because you're now living for Christ. You're not living for him. But now, because the Holy Spirit lives in you as a Christ follower, you're at war with Christ against Satan. You're partnered with Christ. And now you're undermining everything Satan has done for the glory of God. Amen? And Satan's hacked off about it. He's coming after you. But good news is, Jesus has won the war. We just have a battle. I want you to think, I love history, love military history. I want you to think World War II, and I want you to think the D-Day invasion. Once we got our troops in France, World War II was over with. I'm not talking about the Pacific. You know, there's still battles there. But the war in Europe was over. It's just a matter of time, a few more battles to fight, and Germany would be defeated. And that's what Jesus has done. He died on the cross, rose from the grave. The war is over with, but until he comes back and declares the final victory, there's still some battles you and I have to fight, and we need to walk with Jesus. We need to hold his hand. We need his power in us so that we can get through it. So the second reason we pray is that because we know that we need God's power to proclaim the good news of Jesus. So the religious mafia, they have John and Peter. They're threatening them. They're not liking what they say. And Peter says, or in Acts 1:8, I jumped ahead of myself, says this, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world." All right, so, or the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit does what? Empower us to proclaim Jesus. Satan doesn't want that. He wants to stop that. And the best way he stops that is trying to trip you up, saying you're disqualified. No, you're forgiven. I'm forgiven. You're forgiven. God can use you. But let's continue reading in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Remember, this religious mafia is trying to stop John and Peter because they're upending everything about them. They're losing control. And you really need to lose control. You want to be in control of your life when Jesus needs to be in control of your life. Amen? Amen? And so you need to make a choice today. Will you surrender or will you not? It's a willingness of the heart. Notice verse 8. Then Peter, what does it say? Filled with the Holy Spirit. He's looking at people that can order his death. Said to them, rulers and elders of the people. He's standing before the Supreme Court. Congress of Israel, the religious leadership. If we're being called to an account today for an act of kindness showed to a man who was lame or now being asked he was healed, then know this, you and people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. You think they like that? Now, Peter, still filled with the Spirit. Notice what he says in verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You can still lead people to Christ using the first five books of the Old Testament because the Pentateuch points to Jesus. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all points to Jesus Christ's prophecy. And these guys knew that Peter was talking about Jesus is the Messiah. He is the only name that can save you. Not a name that can save you. The only way. And Jesus confirms it when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Look that up, John 14:6. I don't have time this morning. Third thing. We pray because the world needs to see the transformation that Christ has brought into our lives. God's called you to be a light, Matthew 5. Some of you need new batteries. We need to be a glowing. You need to be recharged with God's Spirit. Help me with this, please. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. Bury the hatchet. The new is here. You're a new person in Christ. Amen? Start living that way. You're not here to please family or friends. You're here to please God. This is a dress rehearsal because the next time you open your eyes, you're in heaven before God, giving account how you live, but you're going to be worshiping and praising Him for all eternity. Amen? So let's prepare for it. But notice what we see in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with whom? With Jesus. Can people look at you and see how you walked and act and say, this person's been with Jesus? As we keep reading, we pray because there are people who oppose the good news of Jesus. 2 Timothy, Paul writes, Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposes our message. You think the world supports Jesus right now? Man, do I have some property 50 miles south of Galveston I want to sell you? If you believe that. The world hates us because they hate Jesus. The world is at war with us. And there's people who will always oppose us, but there's something better. It's called Jesus. Notice in verse 18. They then called him in again. They didn't know what to do. They kind of had an executive session. And they're going, we don't know what they've done. They've healed someone. If we question the healing, they're going to say Jesus, and they're going to expect us to change to follow Jesus. We don't want to do that. We lose control. We don't want to do that. It's not that they could not do it. They would not do it. Do you hear me? Some of you know that you need to give your lives to Jesus, but you won't because you don't want to give up control of your life, even though your life is a mess. And these guys didn't want to give up because even from Scripture, they know they're wrong. And they called them in and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Now, for our attorneys in this room, listen to me carefully what these guys did. They're before the religious leaders, a religious court, and they're going to appeal to them. Notice what they say here. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to him or to you or to him? You be the judges. What they're asking for, people, is the court to make a judge. Should we listen to you or a verdict? Should we listen to you or should we listen to God? And what does the court do? They remain silent. Because they knew anything they had to say would be against them. And they're sitting here, God's done a miraculous thing, healed this guy. They're not going to acknowledge it. Why? Because they don't want to change. They don't want to give up control. They'd rather stay in their ways, die and go to hell, than to say God's right. Amen? But notice what John and Peter say. You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. The next reason we pray is because we need God's help. I need God's help. Paul writes in Philippians 4:13, I can do this through him who gives me strength. Peter, remember that fisherman from Tannenbow Creek over in Trinity County? Okay. Some of you got that. Okay. Anyway, I'll pray for you. I was born in Trinity, so I can say that. You may not know that. David, you're telling too much about yourself. No, I'm just telling you. Notice what Peter says. Who through faith are shielded by God's power till the coming of salvation. Let me tell you something about that phrase, power or shielded by God's power. If you have a King James, that shielded is the word kept. It means to guard. God in his strength is guarding us until the day we die. Because the day we die, we now go into heaven and we celebrate with him. Amen? Okay. But here's two verses. God gives me strength to get through whatever hardships I'm going through to overcome. But God's guarding me where I cannot be defeated. Why? Because Jesus lives in me. And John says, the apostle, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen? And so, defeated Christian is not the life that Christ calls us to be, but a powerful Christian who proclaims Jesus Christ in word and deed. And that's the power of prayer as we tap into that source. Notice with me as we come back to Acts chapter 4. They're needing power. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. What was that? Don't preach Jesus. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, this first half of the prayer is worshiping God because he's the sovereign God of the universe, the sovereign Lord. He put everything together. If you don't believe me, go back and read Job starting with chapter 38. And he's going to say, where were you when I laid the foundations of this universe? Where were you when I told the sea no more? Where were you? Are you the father of rain? Boy, he tears Job and his friends up for doubting him. The sovereignty of God. He is in complete control. They're going, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it. If you believe that, how come you're not kneeling before him? How come you won't bend the knee, bow your neck? Notice with me in verse 25. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And he's quoting Psalm 2 here, by the way. Why do nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Kings of this earth rise up and rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed one. Verse 27, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. This is the supplication now. God, we need your power. We need your help. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. We pray because we get to know God more intimately when we spend time with him. When someone spends time with the Lord, you see a change in them. Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking, Paul's praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelations. For why? So that you may know him, Jesus, better. That should be your first priority. How do I get to know Jesus better? You spend time reading and you spend time talking to him and listening to him. Some of you need to get the wax out of your ears so you can hear Christ speak. And by the way, when he speaks, it starts with a gentle whisper. If that doesn't get your attention, he starts hollering at you. And if you don't listen, he's going to take a hammer and bash your head, okay? He's going to do something to get your attention so that you can hear him. Notice Acts chapter 4, verse 31. You had the prayer of acknowledging the sovereignty of God, now the supplication of God's intervention. Verse 31, this is intervention. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of the possessions was their own. But they shared everything they had with great power. The apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus. What are they doing? Testifying. Jesus is alive. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there was no needy persons among them. Now, I won't chase that rabbit. How to pray for a breakthrough. Let's take that prayer of what John and Peter and the others prayed. How to pray for a breakthrough, real quick. Number one, when you're in a hot spot and a bad situation, stay focused on God and not the problem. Do you hear me? They're being threatened. That's the problem. Instead, they focus on God. Acts 4:24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord. What does that mean? God, you know it all. I'm going to lay my problems at the foot of you because you're still sitting on the throne of the universe. Amen? And so this is the difference between prayer and worry. Worry is where you have to be in control and you will not give, will not surrender the issues in your life to the sovereignty of God. Prayer is when you surrender those things to God and said, I'm not going to think about it anymore because God's got this. All I need to do is hear his wisdom so I can follow it. So we stay focused on God and not the problem. The second thing, I remind myself of God's greatness. Again, in verse 24, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, what did the Lord do? You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Do I need to take you to Jeremiah, where the Bible says nothing is impossible for God? He created everything. Nothing's too hard for him. Beautiful passage. We serve a God that can do anything for his glory. And in this fight with Satan, he looks at Satan and says, I'm going to defeat you with both hands behind my back, and I'm going to use dirt to defeat you. You and I are the dirt. And it brings him great glory. And so when God puts his spirit in dirt, radical great things can happen. Amen. Are you willing to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus today? The third thing in how to have a breakthrough, I remind myself of God's incredible power. Indeed, verse 27, indeed Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Verse 28, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Let me say this. God had a plan for Samson to be a judge. But in free will, Samson said, no, I want to party, I want to chase the women. And it cost him being a great judge for the Lord. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Roman soldiers, they could have said, no, I'm not going to crucify Jesus. But they didn't. They had the power, the choice to choose. You have the choice to choose. Yes, God, I surrender. No, God, I'm going to live life my way. And God's going to go, fine, you can live life your way. And when you die, you're going to hell. Because that's sin. Sin will not be allowed into heaven. And in fact, to get into heaven, you have to have the righteousness of God. And you think about all the horrible sins you've committed, the rotten stuff. God loves you, and he gives you his righteousness so that you can enter into heaven. And that happened at the cross. That's why Jesus died your death. But at the cross, he gave us his righteousness, rose from the grave, so we don't worry about death. Amen? And so we need to understand, God's got a plan. It cannot be stopped, but you can stop God from working in your life by saying no. He gives you that choice. You hear me? God wants the world to be saved, but unfortunately, the world doesn't want to be saved. But he did die for the whole world. And it's our job to carry the gospel to every single person on this planet, starting with Huntsville and Walker County, because that's what God wants us to do. We have to be obedient to it. For your family, it starts with you, parents. Being the example of Jesus Christ to your kids. But you can say no. You can put all sorts of stuff. You can let your kids have posters of half-naked people on the wall instead of scripture verses. Okay? Oh, me. I hear some protesting already. No, I'm picking. But everything's a choice. Real quick, two last things. I ask God for his intervention. If you want a breakthrough, God help me. I need your help. Verse 29, now, Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. God wants you to be bold about what Jesus has done in your life, not some sissy, silent Christian. Stretch out your hand to heal, perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant God. God still heals. I've seen God change drug addicts into on fire people for the Christ. What I don't get is that people in prison understand grace and mercy more than us in a free world. Maybe it's because they understand forgiveness, because they've had time to sit and to think about what they've done and reconsidered and given their life to Christ. What about you? No, we do convenience. We're so busy we don't have time for God. And we don't think about the seriousness. And so we have to ask God for his intervention. And then here's the cool thing, the last point, and then I'll shut up. I get to watch God fight the battle. Because if I try to fight the battle, I'm going to be defeated. But in the power of Jesus Christ and his wonderful name, there's victory. Notice this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And God filled them with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word boldly. What do you think Satan's doing? I believe Satan's running around going, all hell help us, all heaven's exploding. Okay, I really thought y'all'd get that. But anyway. You know, I don't want to even chase that. Okay, you're too deep in thought. I don't know about you. Do you sometimes wish that you could be part of the party that gets to throw the devil into hell? I do. Because he's caused so much hell in my life. But God's talking, no, I got some others. And I'm going, okay, God, I know in your power I can take a water pistol or a super soaker and let's go charge hell and put a third of it out and save some people. And God goes, I like that. And that water is called the Holy Spirit that lives in us. The Holy Spirit's what quickened your heart to say yes for salvation. And it was quickened because you saw Jesus working in the lives of others. You heard the word, it made sense, and you responded. And I'm pleading with you. There's a lost world, a world of darkness. The world's getting darker in Europe, in the United States, in Asia, Africa, and South America. It's not. Gospel's spreading like crazy. But for some reason, we're educated beyond our obedience. And we just want to play church instead of being the church. And this group was the church. And they testified to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know. What say you this morning? Do you want to continue living life the way you are right now? Be content? Or would you like to really cause the devil some problems? Where Satan goes, man, Valentine and that girl, they're a bunch of jerks. They just won't leave us alone. No, I don't want to leave them alone. Because Jesus died for every single person on this planet. And there's some people we're going to feel uncomfortable about. But Jesus died for them just as he died for you. So we need to take the means and ability God's given us to go share the gospel. But we have to pray because there is a war out there. There's a war in here. As we fight, do I really want to commit myself to Christ this morning? Let's pray together. Father God, as we pray, help us to say yes to you today. You're the sovereign God of the universe. You created us in your image because you love us. Not only did you create us in your image, but Father, you died for us and you can live in us if we say yes. You can change us. You can save us. Father, there are hurting people in this room right now. Would your peace be upon them, strengthen them, help them to call out to you for intervention? God, we need your wisdom. As we read earlier, if we ask you, you'll fill us with your spirit for wisdom and understanding, for strength. God, we ask that right now. Father, I pray for every person in this room, for people watching. You'd fill them with their spirit, with your spirit, where they would say yes to you. Help them to surrender to you. Help them to rededicate themselves to you. Father, I know there are people watching here that do not know Jesus Christ. If you're unsure of your salvation, would you join with me in this prayer? It's a prayer asking Christ to save you. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I know that you died on the cross for me and that you rose from the grave to give me eternal life. I believe that. I trust you. Will you forgive me of my sins? Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I make a commitment to follow you every day for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as our praise team leads us. Oh, come to the altar.